Hello, everyone. This is Mary Michon from Bensell Greenhouse in Toledo, Ohio. And I'm with Dr. Munir Al-Khatib, an integrative medicine doctor also from Toledo. Welcome to our podcast, Grow for Health. Dr. Al-Khatib and I have been friends for over 20 years and have shared our love of gardening and growing things. We'll discuss health concerns we all may be facing, and together we will talk about the need for gardening and how growing herbs, fruits and vegetables, and so many other plants can provide you with not only good mental health, but good physical health, and put you on a path to positive change. We hope you learn from the information we provide and motivate you to grow for a healthy life. Rake your leaves. Don't use, put the blower away.
Exactly.
Rake your leaves. Exactly. I mean, I don't, you know, even the, and the noise pollution, I just think about that everybody blows their leaves and nobody even rakes their leaves anymore.
I know.
And they don't even understand how healthy it is for your grass and your lawn to get that rake
yes.
out there and all of that. But the movement in your shoulders and your back and, you know, I mean, it's just amazing to me. And people, yeah. Oh, I got to get out of this. I got to get the lawn done and get back inside.
Yes.
And I'm like, why are we thinking like this?
Yeah, well, the rush in our life is literally killing us.
And the balance, I just try to tell people, you know, balance. Put as much effort in changing your diet and your exercise plan as you put into getting to that next movie or
yes.
sitting online and going through Pinterest or Etsy. I mean, people say, oh, I get lost in Pinterest. I just spent 4 hours on the computer. And I'm like, what else did you do throughout the day?
Yeah.
And so sometimes I have to push myself because I can be tired too, but I have to say, you know what? I need to. I feel a little bit sluggish today. I need to go out and take a walk and do 8 blocks or something like that. Or I know that, oh, it's somebody's birthday. We might have a cupcake or a piece of cake, and I tone it back a little bit so that I can afford to have that food because I know my habits. My yeah. habits are, I tend to love to go to all the sugary stuff, and I have to forcefully balance myself. And I just don't think that people even want to have willpower anymore.
Well, they want the convenience.
Yes.
Give me the easiest thing to do. And I know that life is busy. I'm not going to sit here and act naughty.
Right.
But life is stressful for a lot of people, and we need to give people easy ways of doing things. And there's always an easy way to do the difficult stuff. But we have to take time and we have to use the resources that are around us and we're not using.
I think about, too, when I am in the greenhouse working and I am choosing different fertilizers to use on my plants, depending upon the time of year, I will actually use a fish emulsion because fish emulsion is readily absorbed by plant materials. I don't have to use as much for the plants to get it absorbed. There's a lot of synthetics out there, and I kind of look at these analogies between what I'm doing in the greenhouse and what people are putting in their mouths.
Yeah.
What I put into my plants and what people put into their bodies. And I'm thinking about, I think about processed food, fast food, yeah. frozen foods is a synthetic form. Your body tends to resist that, I think. And I know that my plants do better when I use a natural, the Fertrelle chicken poop fertilizer that I use versus fish emulsions or some of the synthetics. And I know what plants prefer different types of fertilizers. And I think about our eating habits and how it is easier for us to digest a raspberry or apple versus, say, some sort of boxed macaroni and cheese. And I think people need to kind of take a look at what our bodies have to go through
Absolutely.
To take in nutrition.
Yeah. I want to tell you a story about the chicken poop and the fish emulsion. You know, when I was a kid, I knew, but not at a conscious level
right.
Was the reason for the activity. But farmers would actually pay goat shepherds to take their flocks to their fields to eat and graze because they wanted
the manure.
The manure.
Yes.
Because that enriched the soil.
Sure.
They knew 100 years ago, 200 years ago, even more. They knew. So they pay the shepherd to bring his goats to the field so they can graze in the field and, of course,
leave the nutrition behind. Right.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So these are some of the simple and easy ways to do things.
Right.
The right way.
So let's talk a little bit. Let's wrap up this oxidative stress, and maybe we can move into some of those other things that you had mentioned that oxidative stress can cause. But I mean, how, knowing that oxidative stress is the background or is what is really starting to set the tone for diseases, what is it really important for you as far as oxidative stress? When you think about that, what do you tell your patients about that and the process?
Food is number one.
Okay.
The food that you prepare can have adequate antioxidants there to prevent the damage from oxidative stress. So I tell them to add a serving of berries, a serving of cruciferous vegetables, maybe a little bit of fish and fish oil, which is very important, can be very helpful. Use the spices heavily whenever you can, unless you have an allergy, of course. Those are the three major items. Cut down on the known oxidant food, which is the high fat, the trans fat, and the stuff that, like prepared meats, lunch meats.
What about sugar?
Sugar is another one which is very important. A tiny amount of sugar is benign, but it is when we load on sugar like we do everywhere.
Everywhere. Well, it's in everything. It's in salad dressing.
And that's one thing which you have to do. And if you are not able to do some of these things, all of these things, then I would recommend an antioxidant formula to be taken daily.
Okay.
That would help a lot.
Is there specific antioxidants that you can think of, like resveratrol or things like that, that are important?
Yeah, the most important one is the grapeseed extract.
Okay.
And the CoQ10.
CoQ10.
Those are very helpful. Ellagic acid, which is in fruit and pomegranate, also. Omega-3s are very powerful antioxidants.
Okay.
Those are some of the major ones. So if you are able to include one, two, or three of those things, depending on your need, that will help a lot. But we have to also remember one thing which we did not talk about: mental stress.
Yeah.
Mental stress is one of the most damaging events in our life. And we all go through mental stress every single day.
Absolutely.
Some of us 1,500 times more than others, but it is there. We need to combat the stress by learning how to do things that reduce stress. Why stress is dangerous, mental stress? Because it increases the level of the fight and flight hormones like cortisol and epinephrine. Those hormones are lifesavers when they are in their normal mode.
Right.
When they're excessive, they become destructive. And by reducing mental stress, you can reduce those hormones and reduce oxidative stress immensely. And naturally, reducing stress is easy said.
Right.
But there are so many things that are free. Yoga.
Right.
Meditation. Tai Chi. They're available everywhere in the community. You can have them done free, either in a place or at home.
Right.
But you need to use one of those things.
There are apps now, Dr. Al-Khatib, that you can put on your phone that remind you it's time for your meditation. Or
absolutely.
There are things that, and they'll show you how, and it can only be 15 minutes.
Even less.
Even less, right?
Guided imagery. Guided imagery is wonderful. Once you learn guided imagery, I love these things like guided imagery and meditation because they are free.
Right.
And they are easy to do, and they can be done anywhere.
And I like the fact too, if people don't know how to do those things, there's really a lot of different places and different, like I said, the apps, but even, you know, if you're a computer person, it shows you on the computer how to do that.
Yes.
But you have to do something for yourself every day. You have to realize that, you know, and sometimes it's really difficult for people who are moving so fast to, I need to do something. And even sitting on a park bench, just walking, park far away to the entrance to the park, and walk into the park and sit on a park bench and do your meditation surrounded by nature.
Let me give you a little trick. You know what I tell my patients? When they're stressed at work, say, ask to go to the bathroom. Go to the bathroom.
Right.
Even if you don't need the bathroom, go to the bathroom, close the door, and close your eyes and meditate for 3 minutes. It will help you walk out in a better mood and better attitude.
Deep breathing, yes.
So even that, I mean, because I know people have restrictions on their time when they're working, but that's a quick and easy way, and no one can argue with you about going to the bathroom.
Right, exactly. Yes. Yes, exactly. Yeah. So I think that, you know, now that we've talked a little bit about all those, you know, some very important nutritional items and, you know, some things to think about body-wise as far as oxidative stress, let's move into maybe something, another subject that you feel you've seen a lot in your clients, something that you would like to talk about, a specific topic that's
one of
real
the most,
important.
One of the most pressing problems now is diabetes.
Okay.
Because of the numbers, because of the fact that we are seeing the rate of increase is staggering. They're predicting by 2050, every other person will be diabetic if we don't do something. And in places like China, the rate of diabetes have increased immensely. In Saudi Arabia, every third person is diabetic already. So it is a huge, and one of the major scary problems is we're seeing type 2 diabetes, which is supposed to be adult onset diabetes, in children now. That is scary.
It is. It's very scary. So tell us a little bit about what diabetes does to your body.
Well, diabetes does a lot.
Right.
It, as you know from just seeing people with diabetes, it has very scary and severe complications, from the loss of vision, from the neuropathy, damage to the nerves, from the damage to the arteries in the legs. 50% of leg amputation in this country is from diabetes. Risk of heart attack and strokes increases immensely, 2 to 3 times normal. The rate of immune disorders also increases because diabetes lowers our immune system. Skin infections tend to take a longer to heal. Foot ulcers are disastrous. So it has a huge, huge array of complications. And because of that, the effort to combat diabetes needs to be taken in a different direction, in my view.
Right.
Because now we have about 70, 75 drugs for diabetes. I mean, every drug company now is into diabetes.
Right.
Because the sheer numbers.
Right, exactly.
Well, that's good and fine, but the sane thing to do is to do prevention.
Right.
You need to prevent diabetes. We know the risk factors for diabetes: family history, obesity, lack of activity, diet, and eating enormous amounts of sugar like we do.
Right.
Impacts the that a little bit or a lot. So knowing all these factors that are modifiable. See, there are non-modifiable factors like your genes. You cannot change your genes.
Correct, right.
But you can suppress your gene.
Correct.
Now we know that we all have genes for all kinds of things. But unless the gene is expressed,
activated,
which means it is opened, it does not do anything. So our job is to find out if we have the gene, then do everything possible to keep the gene quiet. Keep the genie in the bottle, no pun intended.
Correct. And then, but I think one of the things that people have to realize is that sometimes one of the worst things that they could possibly do is to try to combat everything all at once.
Yeah.
And to start you know, if you are that person that eats fast food every day, or you have that soda every day, you know, you don't want to stop everything, because, you know, it's hard. Sugar is very addictive. And yes. So let's say you are a soda drinker, because I think sodas are really just need to go away.
Yes, and absolutely. I am with you 100%.
So if you have four sodas a day, instead of just starting off and cold turkey quitting all those four sodas, go back to planting.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. have a seltzer water or a tonic water or a regular water, and put your mint leaves in it.
Yes.
Or try a new herb, like I have lemon verbena in the greenhouse, or nashia, mujan tea that's very minty. Combine some things, crush those leaves, release those oils in that herb, and put that in your water, and do that purposefully, and
yes.
say, I'm not going to end my day with a Coke. I'm going to end my day with a good flush of my system, because you know some of those herbs can help that, and have good water intake. And I don't think people even understand what happens to your kidneys when you drink sodas, or what happens to your organs when you eat some of these foods. And if you just slowly over time eliminate one thing,
absolutely,
and just slowly make that change in habits,
efficiency,
mm-hmm.
You have to choose your battles, and I tell them, tackle one thing at a time, the easiest one first,
because
it's easy to control,
and then
empowers you,
right,
and then
tell yourself you're proud of yourself for what you've done. So you've just done this over the last month. Take that next step, do something else.
And one of the important things is to eat consciously.
Mm-hmm.
Eat consciously.
Right, with a purpose.
Exactly.
Right.
What do I mean by that? Is know what you're eating.
Right.
Don't pile the food on. I'm sure you've been to graduation parties and weddings and so on, and you see your next person sitting next to you with a plate that has about 7,000 calories on. That is totally, totally unnecessary, because that means you're not conscious of what you're doing.
Right, right.
You're doing it with a habit, and you're not being
purposeful.
Purposeful. Thank you.
Or even if you're that person that always eats out, try to pick, if it's a weekly thing or if it's a daily thing, try to pick one of the meals and prepare it yourself or with family members, or make it a social event, invite a friend, and enjoy the process.
Absolutely. And one thing which is important also is when you are preparing your food and eating, keep an eye on the weight. And if you gain 5 pounds, stop and think.
Right.
Why?
Right.
Where did that come from? And I need to bring it back, because you and I know very well, the more weight you have on, the more difficult to lose.
Right.
And fat is a live organ. It's actually an endocrine organ. It secretes multiple hormones, including things like leptin, adiponectin, ghrelin, all these hormones that actually work to maintain the fat. So the fat is a very intelligent organ. It wants to maintain itself, doesn't want to go away. So it secretes all these hormones to maintain its status.
So is that what helps with metabolism then?
Absolutely.
Or, okay.
It works on satiety and appetite and on metabolism. And the new research is becoming quite interesting on obesity, because there are so many people that are looking into it. And one of the interesting books that I read recently is called The Secret Life of Fat. It gives a great deal of info. It doesn't give you a cure for the obesity, no, but it gives you a lot of understanding, because obesity is not a conscious or a simple equation between what you eat and what you burn. No. It's not. There are so many other factors that play a role in there. So by removing the guilt, which really cripples us quite often.
Right, exactly.
And the shame.
Yes.
I think that is a terrible thing, to shame people because they're overweight.
Right.
Because quite often it is not their fault.
It creeps up on you very quickly sometimes.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And we're not, you know, and we are, of course, we're all victims of what happens in the larger society.
Right.
As we are beneficiaries also, beneficiaries of the system, we also are victims because the system is geared towards making money.
Right.
And making profit.
Right.
And one of the stories I tell people that you have to also keep in mind that the info that you have right now is not complete. There's always room for improvement,
right,
always room for new, more knowledge. For example, you know how Crisco came to be?
No.
Well, in the early 1900s, there was no Crisco because we used oils, and oils were difficult to store because they're rancid.
Right.
They're difficult to transport. So they wanted to find a way to make it easier to get the fat and into the hands of people. So they discovered that if you hydrogenate vegetable oil, you form a solid material.
Oh my gosh.
And voila, there's Crisco.
And it Crisco lasts forever.
Was there forever.
Ugh.
And until recently, when we discovered that it's trans fat and causing heart disease.
Right.
And oxidative stress.
Right.
Fortunately, I'm glad we discovered that because now we have no Crisco or margarine,
yeah.
Or, you know, hydrogenated oils.
Yes.
So that was because of the commercial aspect of it. Same thing happened also in the early 1900s when the food was industrialized. The food industry found out that there was a material in the food that gave the food a little of a bitter taste. So they discovered what was and removed it. Guess what was the material? All the antioxidants.
Oh, no.
Yes.
Oh, wow.
That's why all these industrial foods were very low in antioxidants.
Sure.
So these are some of the things that I want to open people's eyes to the fact that don't accept everything face value, number one.
Right.
Ask, investigate, educate, empower yourself.
Right.
You have to empower yourself.
And don't, you know, and the one thing too I think that's really confusing is if you go into the grocery stores and you read the front panels of whatever, you know, it's enhanced with omegas, it's got this amount of vitamin C, it's got this in it, it's got that in it, it tells you that it's nutritional, it's natural. And those are things that I think confuse people thinking, here's health right here. I'm going to eat this because it's healthy.
Yeah.
May not be the case.
Exactly. That is taking away an option from you that to think because they're telling you where it is and you're accepting it as is.
Right. So let's say, for example, we're on a very limited budget and we feel that if you go in and you buy a big old box of frozen foods or something like that, you can feed your whole family. You know, sometimes alternatives are, you have to think about alternatives as far as, you know, if I need to buy $2 worth of green peppers or things like that. Sometimes some of these things can be a little bit more expensive.
Yes.
But frozen may not be a bad alternative either, because sometimes frozen foods are available and are can be as nutritional as opposed to the canned items.
Absolutely.
Right. So, I mean, do you have any suggestions for people who may be on limited budgets who are fighting diabetes and want to change their diet, but they're thinking, this is going to be really expensive for me?
This is a huge problem. This is a huge problem.
Right.
And I understand it very well. You know, someone who has, you know, a family of four on limited income.
Right.
They're not going to be able to go to a fresh food market and buy $200 worth of fruit for 2 days.
No,
that's
exactly
not doable.
No.
It is not expected from them. And that's where I'm, you know, I keep saying that I hope that the industry will somehow move into an area where it makes these things more available.
Right.
The good stuff.
Right.
So when you have a family to feed, use things that are not only filling and adequate for nutrition, it has to be adequately nutritious.
Right.
So what you do is you use the grains and the vegetables.
Right.
For example, I grew up in Lebanon, so we one of the things that we eat every day almost is cracked wheat.
Okay.
Bulgar.
Oh, yes.
You can buy a pound for $1.10.
Of course, right? Yes.
When you cook a pound of Bulgar, it feeds four people.
Right.
Because, you know, it gets big, can fill a whole pot. So what you do is you try to make that more nutritious by adding to it all kinds of greens.
Right.
And greens are very easy to grow and they're cheap to buy.
Right.
And you can actually mix them 50-50 and then you spice them.
Yes.
Very well. And use a dash of olive oil or a reasonable couple of tablespoons of olive oil for the fat. And you can actually feed a family of four on that very easily. Oh. Nutritious, right. Filling food. And the nice thing about it is it has the fiber,
right.
It has the vitamins, it has the moisture, it has the minerals, and you will be doing very well.
Right.
Use brown rice the same way.
Right.
Use quinoa, although quinoa is a little expensive.
Right.
These things can go a long way.
That's what I've kind of been doing in our diet. We do a lot of different rices. We do bulgur, yeah. And that's one of the ingredients in tabbouleh.
Yes.
Which is very good for you. So,
yeah.
You know, it's not that hard to get a really good rice, add the bulgur to,
yes.
It. You can always cook these things up and use them over a couple days. Absolutely. If they're refrigerated properly. And we do that all the time. You can grow kale and chard in the house
very
all year
easy.
Long. All
very
year
easy.
Long. It's beautiful.
Very easy. And you,
yeah.
Can harvest them. You can plant one thing every week.
Right.
A batch every week.